The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is December 6, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Dr. Wong is sponsoring me for Iceland, and he'll be on here starting in February twice a month, every other month, and I couldn't be happier. He's a great guy. We're going to have a lot of new people on here, too. We're going to be doing a lot of new shows. We got Steve Cotter is going to be a regular next year. Mike Bruce. We've got Sean Mullen. He's one of the biggest kettlebell guys in Canada. On and on and on. We're booked right till the end of April right now, and I've been trying to contact a lot of people that we've got to get other things set up with. So we're damn busy. So go out to docsprefer.com. Tell him we sent you, and he's a great guy. Secondly, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Bert's a regular on here. Another announcement, too, is his dad's either going to be a monthly or every other month, Richard. But we've got probably the best bottom end right now of all the strength and old school athletes. We've got Brooks Kubik begins back with us this Friday, December 11th. We got Bill Hinburn. We've got John McKean, and now we got Richard Soren more on a regular basis. And as everybody knows, Bert's on every month with us. And they're sponsoring me for Iceland, too. If everything goes according to plan, we should be leaving in mid-May. We just did our third week yesterday. I feel damn strong, really powerful, and I just got to keep these shoulders intact real good. And we don't have any mishaps. We ought to be, by the end of this month, early January, if it doesn't snow, I'm hoping I can do 95 feet with 300 pounds by the end, within the second week of January. So that'd be 95 down and back, and I mean at a run, because everything we're doing right now is pretty much running. And then we start getting into the real big stuff after that. So I'm not only planning on being in the best condition I've ever been in my life, but the strongest and the mental. I will be unbreakable. So check that out. So thanks to Sorenex for that. Next thing is going to be the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. I just did a big video on that yesterday. It was over 10 minutes because we're going to start launching both products tomorrow. There's animation to introduce it. Wait till you see the animation we did for this thing. Not only that, it really explains the top 10 ways, but when you go out and you're going to see strength times power equals success and the winner's circle all out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, these things are life changers, and you're going to be able to really get into both of these products at a pretty discounted rate to come in, and you're also going to be able to get a month with me free in the winner's circle, which is 12 modules, which is all audio. Strength times power is all shot. In HD, I narrate everything, and Dennis, who lost 43 pounds off this program, which I use this program for everybody. I use it for Alex here, everything. It's really interchangeable with everything you want to do. They work, and if you want to really get into stuff and really push the dial, I would suggest looking into all three of these. Obviously, the top 10 is free. You give your email address. Basic. You'll see all the explanation when Chris puts everything up for both of them. I did a thing yesterday. I'm going to talk about it today with Aaron on my five favorite sandbag exercises. Right now they are. So who knows? A month from now it could be something different. But I'm going to get into more of that, how you can transition from sandbags right into stones. I've got Dr. Jeffrey Smith, who's going to be a regular on here. He is an MD. He's already transitioned from sandbags into stones. He's an awesome guy. He's been one of my biggest supporters, and the guy's always sending me something from somewhere. I've made some really good people. I've made some great contacts. I don't like using the word friends. I'll say more like people that I want to join my family who have. So, Jeffrey, thanks for all you've done, too. Obviously, too, sponsorship is huge here. And we're running in December and January of, obviously, 16. You can get in on board with us for sponsorship for $100 a month. That's a $400 discount right now. We want to get everybody on here we can. Obviously, I used to say we're going to get 1 million people. We're going to have 10 million people on here. $30, that goes to muscular dystrophy, and you can get those kids a flu shot. And in this weather, you never know. My brother Jimmy got a cold and it killed him. He got pneumonia, bang. They couldn't save him. As you both know, as everybody knows, FBC and Eminem are both dedicated in his memory. And I always say he's the angel on my right shoulder all the time, no matter what I'm into. Chris Bigelow does everything here. MonsterDevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. And I think that's it. Well, today we have my co-host Aaron Mack and I with me. We haven't done a show in quite a while. These shows kick ass all over the place. They do very, very well. People seem to like them. So we're going to talk about three things today. First off, the five favorite sandbag exercises, eggnog smoothie, and a hot protein mocha drink. But before I bring Aaron in, I'll tell you a little bit about her here. She's a Marine. Also a nutritional coach, owner of Paleo Effects, strength trainer, and exercise coach. And like I said, we're going to get into that stuff big time today. But I'm going to welcome Aaron in. Aaron, welcome to Motivation and Muscle.
Hey, y'all. I think I'm going to put on my Southern accent today.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. There was something that – no, it just – there was something when you first came in, but you sound clear now.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Well, give everybody a little bit about yourself, and we'll start right in.
Well, as you said, I'm a Marine. I've got 17 years in, not all active duty. It's been broken up with stints of reserve work, and then in between I did other stuff. But my passion is nutrition and as a way to help life coach, help support people that want to make big transformations in their life. I view the way we handle food as sort of the way we handle everything and treat ourselves. And you can sort of see somebody's philosophy about life through the way they feed themselves. So that's the way I approach things. I come from a paleo background, but that doesn't mean that's right for everybody. So I don't advocate that for everyone. But other than that, I always like to give a little tidbit that I might not have said before. Most of my formative years were in the South. So there you go. That's why I came on. I said, hey, y'all. Christmas time reminds me of family time in the South.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it. How you doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing good, too.
All right. Well, let's get right at it. Sandbag exercises. I ran a big video yesterday that's going to go out with the all the new products starting on Monday's launch. And sandbags are a really great way to get into any type of serious lifting. I mean, I don't care what you want to do. When I cut Dennis down 43 pounds, the majority of that work was with sandbags. But knowing how to use them in a concentrated way that, I mean, you could make inroads to anything you wanted to do. Now, his main thing is he had to lose a lot of weight. So we used them, and we used other stuff. Obviously, we used weights. We did a little bit of kettlebell, but most of it was concentrated around that. A lot of deadlifting, obviously squatting. We did a lot with the York Iron Boots, which are an old, they call them a sandal, where basically you put your feet into these boots, and you strap them onto your feet. and what they are is weighted, and I believe they weigh 5 pounds a shoe. And obviously, you can do any type of abdominal work. You want to do stuff for your hips. These things are just multifaceted. So I had some here, and I like what they do. And, you know, if you need a break when you're doing a lot of squatting and stuff, let me tell you something. You can take those things and turn your thighs into anything you want to do. So that's for another time. But the thing I found about sandbags were, because most people, I already talked about Jeffrey, anybody that's come to me about sandbag training is like, you know, the next thing you know, we're talking about lifting stones. And I'm like, that's great, but you don't, if you don't have a lot of experience with them, it's a very good way to hurt yourself. You know, you drop a stone on your foot or hit the shin or something. I've done all that. You usually break things. So a great way to get started, and you don't have to put a lot of investment in, is you go and buy sand. You buy sand in a few bags, like I said yesterday, even if you buy 4 or 5 bags with sand, multiple amounts of sand, you might have $20 invested in yourself. And as I said in the video yesterday, I mean, everybody's worth $20 out there. So you don't have to get into gym fees. I mean, you can do them in a cellar. You can do them in your garage. If you're like us, we do them outside unless they're frozen to the ground. All right? So I think that outside training, number one, is something I'm going to get into with another show here. But I think outside training, especially in the cold, is more beneficial than anything you can do. It's going to toughen and harden you like nothing else. And I know people like heat. Heat's fine. It's just another dimension of it. But I, for the money, if you gave me 20 below or 100 with humidity, I'll take 20 below any day of the week. All right? So my 5 favorites right now I've been doing with sandbags is this. And I will tell you this. I do them every week, every other week, but I also focus maybe on one of the lifts. But I'll give you the 5 right now I'm doing. I'm doing step-ups. So what I do is I get 2 concrete blocks. They look like the blocks you'd build a house with. And if you're real heavy and you have problems, I will tell you this. If you want to do them, I mean, it's not a high step-up. But if you do, you might want to concentrate on having 4 of them, because if you tilt or you need more support under you, this is going to give it to you. Or you start going out and buying like the steel blocks and stuff like that to get up on. But I think when you have a weight problem, chances are it's going to be hard to lift your leg very high to jump up on something. Then there's balance and all that shit we're not going to get into right now. So step ups is the first thing. So you're going to bear hug that thing. And you're going to put 1 foot up, whatever side you're going to do. Let's say you're going to use your right foot first. So the left is going to go up on the other side, on the other block. And you're going to push off on that leg and come up with your right leg. And you're going to step right on the block. And you're immediately going to go back down. Same thing. I try to breathe in and out through the nose, through the whole thing. Obviously, rep ranges in the beginning, I'd keep them, you know, no more than 5s, all right, because you got to get used to this thing. And if you're not used to just balance and holding a bag, because, you know, that's squeezing. If you're not used to squeezing, forearm, wrists, your shoulders, everything are going to get hit. So that would be the first movement. Second, I do immediately after I do the last rep on whatever leg it is I'm finishing with, I immediately get off the blocks, take a deep breath, go right down as far as I am, going to bear hug and walk it. That right there, I think, is the key to everything with the whole deal. This and the other exercise I'm going to talk about. I've discovered, and I never understood it years ago, and I know I would have been a much better athlete if I did this. I believe bear hugging and walking anything will make you a super athlete. It's some of the hardest stuff you could ever do in your life. Because I can tell you just from lifting heavy stones, like we were doing yesterday after all this bag work, the amount of pressure it exerts on your chest, your heart, everything. Everything is working overtime to get you to your destination, I think is the best way. Obviously, you have to approach this in a cautious manner, because if you're not used to doing this, you know, we don't want to see you fall on your face dead, basically. You want to take short distances. Let's say, you know, maybe you start out only with 15 feet, all right, and you'll shake your head and say, well, what good's that? It's like anything. You got to take steps and build it up. You know, last night I watched a real interest. I watched a couple things last night. I watched Steve Jack's Penn Slab thing all about the Husafell stone. Kvalin is the stone. I mean, when you watch him doing it and all the stuff he did for it, not only is it inspiring, and we had Steve on not that long ago, and I'm reaching out to him right now because I want to see how much we can get him on in 16. It was a real interesting thing, especially the philosophical stuff where, you know, it's like anything. You know, a stone, like the way he equated it, is to like a romance. You got to kind of find out what all the quirks are, you know, the curves, you know, this, that, and the other thing. But it also brings, like with anything you have with anybody, it brings a lot of pain at times too. And the way he equated that with a stone I thought was incredible, because anything that's worthwhile, you're going to make it work, and you're going to be able to go around and pull that thing and go 50 meters with it. And that has to do with life, with that, with relationships, with anything. You decide if you want to go along with it or you don't, you know, that's all it is. But as far as the stone goes, I was just sitting there, you know, and I'm saying to myself, holy shit, I've been there twice, man. I know every drop that he's talking about. Every piece of that ground he walked on, everything, the church, incredible. The mountains just fires you up. So if you ever had plans to go and do an adventure like that, and it truly is an adventure, you got to start out with something. And sandbags, I think, is really the first step to doing that. So we do our walk. Now, this one here, I think, is one of the most critical ones to building severe power and endurance. I mean, I think they're all up there, but this is the one that really makes my head smoke, literally. It does something to me mentally that the walk is pretty close, but it sets something off in me that most stuff doesn't. It's like a chain reaction. What you're going to do is you're going to take and straddle the sandbag, whatever you're going to use, okay? And the idea is you take it, and I would take this thing and make sure you put it in some type of iron mine cells, the bags that you can put. There's a bag you load with sand, and then you can put it in their other bag, which you can basically lock it down, and you're not going to have sand breaking all over you. Because I've had bags break on me, hit me in the head and break, all kinds of shit, all right? It's not real pleasant when you get sand in your eyes and you can't see, and you got to dump everything all over. So that will stop that. I think they also make, too, I think if you have trouble with hard water, you can get this stuff to put in it, and you can use the bags, because a buddy of mine uses them, and he said they're hard as hell and they don't break. Getting back to that, you can use an army duffel bag, too. They're great, too. Make sure you tape everything up. You don't want any of those buckles or anything slapping you in the face when you rip this, because you got to totally explode with it. So what you're doing is you're straddling this thing, and you're going to grab this thing with all your might. Now, once again, what are we doing? We're getting finger work. We're getting hand work. You're getting all this indirect work. You would usually have to use like some type of grip machine or whatever you're going to use. So you're going to take this thing, and you're going to bend over and grab it, and it's going to be almost like a power clean, but you're going to clean it to the front of your delt on each side. So, but the key to this is when you come down, you slam it on the ground. There's something about that. It sets everything off, like all the neurons in your hands. Everything's going to your brain, and it's like spiking all over the place. Because I get in such a fit like that where I don't see anything around me. I'm just like totally – I just want to wrap that thing right around my shoulder. So I would do like – I usually stay anywhere from 5 to 20 reps with it, depending on what size bag you're using. You can interchange them. You can take – with any of this stuff. Have a number of bags, you know, depending on your fitness level. So I have bags from 50 to 150. No, I have usable bags to 150. Then I have two others loaded in a big army duffel bag from 2 to 275. Those things are a beast. You're probably not going to get that to your shoulder. You don't really have to. I like to use them for strength and explosion. Once you do your right side or your left side first, you go to the other side. Put it down. I'll stop there. Okay, Aaron, weigh in here.
Hey, this is actually timely because I think I told you yesterday I messed up my thumb. So I think that this is a good workaround for a weight training workout for me where I'm grabbing the bags. I think I'd have to be a little bit careful about, you know, spiking the bag to the ground with my thumb. But other than that, It sounds awesome. And I know that I've done one of your training programs before, and I've got a bunch of Marine Corps / Army, you know, duffel bags, military grade type bags laying around. And so that's what I did. It was really easy. I live near the beach, so there's plenty of sand, and I just taped up those different size bags where I basically made my own medicine balls thanks to you. I still have them, and they're really accessible in my garage. So every once in a while, I'll just grab a few, throw them in a couple bags, and head down to the beach to do the workout, which you had suggested before. So if any of your listeners are near a beach where they can do the walking on the sand, that was really tough and great. I loved it. So I'm really kind of thinking maybe this is what I'm going to do this week as I get ready for a combat fitness test, just to get my entire body and my central nervous system engaged.
Well, one thing I've done, I haven't done it on the sand, but you could do this, and this is one of the things I've got a ton of stuff I've experimented with, and this would work incredible for your fitness. Is I wouldn't go over any more than I'd have a couple with me. I don't know what sizes you got. Maybe you want to have a 10, 20, and 30. And what you'll do is you'll stand there, obviously bend over. You're going to put your hands underneath or to the side of the bag, and you're going to dig your hands right in, and you're going to throw that thing out in front of you as far as you can. Then you run up to it immediately, grab it again, and do that again. I would do that like a succession. What I would do is I would experiment first. I'd do 5 throws with it and see where it lands, okay? And on the 5th throw, I would take, all right, let's say you did it with a 10. I'd have a 20 sitting right there, and I'd come back with a 20 for 5, and I'd have a 30 sitting there and do the same thing, go down, and I'd come back with a 30, and you can call it a day, because that would hammer you on your knees. Now, if you're using more heavier sandbags, you know, being you've never done this, you might not know at first, but if you started using stuff where you're upgrading, say you're going from a 20 to a 40 to a 70 to, I don't know, let's say you could kill 100 even, okay, like that, I am telling you, you could do that one exercise and go home, because that thing will wreck you totally. But you want to have fitness levels. We do that a lot with that, but we even do crazy fitness levels with round sphere stones where we'll take them and roll them 95 feet up and back on my driveway. We're basically, it looks almost like a bear crawl. And you do that, because I don't have, my driveway's not pristine because I've destroyed it, and I've got to really have it all fixed. So you're going to hit, you know what I mean? You're going to hit broken stuff, you're going to hit, you know, and a driveway starts wearing down. You get, you know, some ruts in it and things of that nature. So here's the key where really, you want to talk about hand, every type of work is when that thing tries to go left or right on you, you got to try to catch that every time. So think about that. You've got something that's unwielding to begin with, but it's trying to go away, you know, run away from you. So what ends up happening is just think of the ligament and tendon work you're getting. I mean, it's incredible. So I would tell you, I mean, maybe you don't want to do it right away. You want to let that thumb heal. But I'm telling you right now, if you do those throws like that, especially in the sand, because you figure, let's just say you can throw it 5 feet or whatever. It doesn't really matter. But the point of the matter is you're going to run right back up to it and grab it. I don't care how good a shape you're on, you're going to be breathing like you never have before. And you might have to walk around a little bit to get yourself back. But I'm telling you right now, mentally, it'll set you up. You know, like with what you're doing, you could fly through it. I'll tell you a side note. Alex was here yesterday. I think it was his 21st week. And a week from this coming Saturday, the 19th of December, he's going for the biggest deadlift of his life, which will be 300 pounds. This is a kid that's got never even did a deadlift till he came here with me. And I've trained him considerably on sandbags to get him started because I felt the validity of him was incredible. And yesterday, he got the biggest awakening of his life. He was pretty nervous. He didn't know I was going to train. He's never been around me training. So Dennis was here. because we had to film before he got here. So we did a whole sandbag workout before he got here at noon on my time, Eastern Standard Time. And he just got done with basketball. And, you know, he's like the fastest kid on the court. When they had big practice sessions about 3 weeks ago, he was the only kid that didn't puke. He was the only kid that wasn't acting like he was like, oh, I got to leave here. But I don't think he gets along real good with his coach. He's playing for him. He's doing really well, but that's a whole other side. But the point of the matter is he's come here and has changed everything on him. His basketball coach, he goes to a trainer for that. He's like, whatever that guy's doing with him, tell him he's doing a great job. And he goes, I can't believe how he's changed so much. So that's good. I'm not patting myself on the back either. He's a great kid, and I really enjoy working with him. But yesterday, he got punched in the brain yesterday for sure. He trained with me yesterday, and he, you know, that's a whole new tune right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm unmerciful. I'm not mean. But look, when I started out training, we used to go to a place called the Steel Pier, which was one of the hardest core gyms to this day I've ever been in, other than what I've got out there. And we used to go to the Y. And this Y was down in this building where a furnace ran all summer alone. And we were wise with everybody. I'm still the same wise guy I've always been. And they used to beat the shit out of us, literally, man. But we kept coming back. And it soon developed into where these older guys liked us and they were helping us out. And I just look at things this way. You don't have to be rotten or mean to anybody, but he's got to learn right now that when he steps on the field, there isn't going to be anybody out there holding his hand or kissing his ass telling him how great he is. Well, he came in yesterday and he looked like a deer caught in the headlights because he had to, you know, I set up his program to run with mine, but obviously – you know, and I gave him a lot of mercy because he never did anything like this the way we're doing setups, dumping stones, reloading and coming down like a shot. But even his father said to me after he'd done, he goes, that was the best thing that ever happened to him. He said, he looks stunned, man. And I was like, well, I'd rather have him fail here than fail out on the field. And I told him if he can stick with this with me, I said, wait till you see yourself in the next 4 weeks going up and down that basketball court. And I said, when you start back here at the end of January full time and out of basketball, we start getting into squats. I said, you'll be 175 pounds by April. I said, right now he was 143 when he came here. He's 155 right now. I said, he's got to be up to 161 by the end of this month. So I've really put a lot on him right now. But I felt yesterday it's something he needed. It's something I need, too, because I need to know that this kid can respond to anything. So, I mean, he's going against a guy that's been doing it forever, but it's what he needs. He needs right now to kind of, like, get pushed back a little bit, and I need him to come hard charging at me. What would you think about that, Aaron?
Well, I've seen some of the work that Alex has been doing with you, and I don't know the guy personally, but I'm just so proud of him. He's just really come so far. And it's great that he's going to be going for a 300-pound goal there. That's amazing. That's fantastic, really. But, yeah, it's motivating.
And then you think next year he stays nice and healthy and I come back from Iceland, you know, he's going to be ready to go into his first strongman contest.
Does he want to do that?
Yep, that's what I'm training him for all winter. He's my protege now. He's my training partner.
That's great. I can't wait. Just back to like the workout so far as you've laid it out, I can't wait to do the throwing of the bags and then kind of pouncing on them.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, we'll get right back into that. But all I can say is he's gonna have to take on my personality or he's going to be dead, either or. He's not going to last. That's the way it is. And if he can grab a little off me as far as going out and training like me, he's going to be deadly out. He'll be the baddest ass 15-year-old you ever met. And he's a nice kid, and that's what I stress with him. You don't have to be a bully. You don't have to be nasty to people. You can be a gentleman. But you know what? When it's time to friggin' not be a gentleman, you'll know how to do it. You'll know how to protect your parents. You're out with your girlfriend, whatever. You can, you know – you can disable somebody pretty easy the way I'm teaching him how to do things. So he won't even have to throw a punch with what I've taught him. So we're going to the next movement now. I already said we're going to do a pull, a push, and another pull. So we've already cleaned the shoulder. Now, I'd rather go overhead because I'm an overhead guy, but let's face it, the bench press, when it's done right and executed correctly, is a phenomenal movement, but I like doing all things standing. There's only one thing I think about when I'm laying on my back, and it ain't sleeping. So let's talk about the bench press here. What I do with these is this. I take the sandbag and put it on the side of my body because usually I don't have a spotter to drop it on my chest. So what you do with this, it's a great way. You can take this thing and rock it and just turn right over with it on your back, and it's laying on your chest. So all you have to do is adjust it, and basically same thing. You're going to do the number of reps, press it straight up. I like to hold it a little bit just to feel it, bring it back down nice and slow, extend the arm straight up again. Phenomenal movement, and I'll tell you what, once again, it's a balancing act. See, everything's a balancing act with that stuff. Nothing is ever going to stay like a barbell where it's uniform, it's even, and really, you know, the barbell is the greatest invention ever, but it's made to be lifted. A lot of these things are not made to be lifted. So that's the bench press. Then the last one is the bent row. Very underrated. I did a show on this. I did a show with Aaron on it too. I did a podcast on it too. Kind of an exercise that's been cast aside a lot, like dips, high shrugs, straight arm pullovers, all those great movements, but they're ball busting movements and they're very, very hard on everything. So the idea of this is another thing with rows. I think they work your bicep better than directly working your bicep. And having a bicep tear, I can tell you that. I think you can build such deep, deep tissue doing bent rows. And I'm not talking bent rows like they look like a half a deadlift. I'm talking in that stance where you're dipped low and you're pulling the bar to your belly button. That's how I do a bent row. I don't think there's any other way. I won't do it any other way. I think it directly works the lats and the upper back like insanely. And if you really want a tip, if you space your hands about 6 inches apart, or if you have, I'm doing this off a York barbell, an Olympic bar. Start your first finger right at the beginning of the knurls because the center of the bar will be smooth. Pull a bent row like that. So they may be, let's just say they're maybe 6 to 8 inches apart. You'll know if you're doing it right because the center of your back will hurt like hell when you're pulling it correctly. You want to build a back, man. You want to build lats like you never seen. Give that a whirl. Obviously, if you know how to do a pullover, you can fly then with the lats you'll build off that. But the row, obviously, with a sandbag, is you're going to have to grab it. You know, and obviously, however you can grab it, how you're comfortable with it, and you're going to do the same thing I said. I pull it to my belly button. Once again, I don't know. Sometimes I'll stand up, slam it to the ground, grab another rep like that. There's just something about the slams that I think, I don't know. They connect to the brain. Like I said, the hands, everything, the neurological pattern. It's something I work. It's just kind of like a little trick I found that worked for me. So I pass it on to you. All right, so we got those two. What do you think? Are you a bench presser, rower? Do you like that stuff?
I like all of that. I love a good bench press. There's something really satisfying about that. And you know I like rowing because we've talked about that before. Almost every workout of mine, even if I'm not focusing on the back, I'll throw in a set of rows just because it feels good. You know, I feel balanced. But I'm kind of excited to get into the sandbag thing again. And I think I'm going to start heading to the beach to do everything. So.
I myself think outside training's the best. I mean, I'm going to do a big show on that, especially with winter training, how it affects you mentally and physically. Obviously, footing. The thing is, most people shy away from this stuff. But my feeling is, you don't shy away from any challenge with anyone or anything. And it's like, it's challenges like that I feel that make you a premier human being in whatever you're going to do, whether it's weightlifting, relationships, family, whatever it is you're diving in, a job, a business, all that stuff, because that's the stuff most people run away from. They don't have the guts or the balls to jump into it. And I'm in the mood today to really lay it out, but I'm not going to right now. So those are the five movements. I think, you know, you can go to any store. Usually if you go to a garden center, a Home Depot, if you have them out there, we have those in Lowe's here. I don't really dig those places, but they usually have sand. And like I said, you can get both bags, the sleeves and the bag themselves, if you want them out of Iron Mind. Also, like Aaron said and I said, you can use Army bags. And you go right out on the web and find them. There's all kinds of, like, stores, you know, Army stores that you can order them from. I've done that before. A couple of my friends are in the military. They gave me bags. I will tell you this, though. I did find out. If you don't use the bags for a while, you should really check them before you use them, because see, I always double my Army bags. I never do a one bag no matter what. And of course the sand isn't something strong. What I found, and I imagine it's just the moisture of being in a garage where it's hot and cold, you know, month or year or whatever, I found the last pair of Army bags I had, I went in and looked at them and the bottom fell right out of one. So always be very careful of stuff like that. Check them. I know most people, that wouldn't even come to your head, but be very cognizant of that, because I got news for if a bag breaks on you when you're walking or doing like a pull to the shoulder, you could get injured. So that's just a little cautionary note for everybody out there. You know, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I want to see you know, training with us in for the next 25 years at least. You got anything you want to add to that, Aaron?
No, I think that that's right on and true about military bags, is if they're sitting around for a while, sometimes they'll just kind of fall apart.
Yeah, they rot right out of the bottom. That's what happened to mine. They
just fell right through. The government paid for the lowest bidder to make them. So.
Most likely. They're junk, I'm sure. All right, do you want to get into the recovery drink?
Let's get into it. And I was, you know, as you were talking about Alex, putting weight on him, I was thinking, this isn't a bad recipe for that. And so to that point, it's the holidays. So this is a holiday treat, a couple holiday treats, but also can be helpful as long as you're not, you know, drinking gallons of it. I would say for me, for a small petite woman, but you guys, you might go to town.
Okay.
So essentially it's an eggnog smoothie, and I'm going to also teach you how to make a hot protein mocha. We always talk about smoothies, and it's cold outside, so, you know, let's do something hot and toasty instead. But for eggnog, the eggnog smoothie, now let me ask you, Eric, do you like eggnog? I know that. Have you ever had homemade eggnog?
No, never have.
Okay, so you can buy eggnog in the store, or like the liqueur eggnog, where it's liqueur mixed with rice. But when you make it at home and you let it sit in your refrigerator, it's really good. It's creamier, it's smoother, it's richer, it's delicious. And the way that you make it is with eggs. So I know that our crowd's not afraid of eggs. Some people have egg allergies, and then you want to use that some sort of replacement stuff. And if you are going to not make it yourself, then just so you know, there's a lot of different now alternative milks if people are dairy free. So they can get, you know, coconut milk eggnog, but it doesn't taste like coconut. It tastes like eggnog. But it's so much better made at home. So I'm going to quickly talk about how you guys can do that. And anybody can do it. It's not that complicated. So you just need 4 eggs, some milk of your choice. I use vanilla almond milk or cashew milk. You also need a can of coconut milk. You can also use, instead of the cans of coconut milk, I suggest people use either a can of light coconut milk or the, now you can get coconut milk in the boxes, and you're avoiding BPAs and stuff like that. But you can go either way. You can make this a very rich, rich, rich recipe, or you can, it's more classic, or you can make it just a little bit lighter. I like to go on a little bit lighter side. You also want a little bit of either coconut sugar or maple syrup, some vanilla extract, and nutmeg and cinnamon, pinch of allspice. So the easiest way to do this is you separate your eggs in bowls, right, so that you don't get egg white with the egg yolk, because that kind of screws it up a little bit. Plus, you can use those egg whites to make a fluffy whipped top to this. And then essentially you've got all the egg yolks in a small mixing bowl, and you combine the rest of the ingredients in a saucepan. And I'm going to give all these notes to Eric so that he can post them, or you can find them on my page. But in the saucepan, you're going to heat up about 2 1/4 cups of vanilla almond milk and a can of, I use light coconut milk, and just let that heat with the vanilla and the nutmeg and the cinnamon. And just use teaspoons or pinches of those seasonings, depending on depending on what you like. But it's going to smell amazing. And let me tell you this about nutmeg. If you use a lot of it, it gets more powerful in the drink over time. So you might not want to use too much nutmeg. But that just heats up, and you let it simmer. And then you're going to slowly, it's called tempering the egg yolks. You're going to slowly add 1/4 cup of the hot liquid to the egg yolks while you whisk it continuously. So as you've got the little bowl of egg yolks, you're whisking, and you start adding some of the hot liquid to it to temper it. Otherwise, they congeal and seize up, and it doesn't create that custardy effect, which is how custard is made, essentially. Okay. So you continue until you've added about 1 cup of your liquid, and then you transfer all of that back into the pot, and now you've got your base. And you just whisk it, you bring it up to a medium heat, and you let it simmer for 3 to 4 minutes. And then you can put it into some jars and let it cool off and then refrigerate it. And it's going to be like liquid custard. That's what it is. That's why it's so delicious. Now, with those egg whites, if you take those and you hand blend them with a little bit of vanilla stevia, or maybe you want to use just a drop of maple syrup, if you hand blend them, even just vanilla extract, now you've got this big, whippy, fluffy topping that's just protein, right? You can put this on top of your smoothie in the end. So I know that's a big process, but if you wanted to make your eggnog smoothie with homemade eggnog, and you know all the real food that's in it, now you've got great eggs, great protein, you know, good fats, all of that stuff. And you can control the amount of sugar you want to put in there, depending on your taste.
So, yeah, but you got a lot. One good thing, you got not only that, you got high caloric intake. And when you're training, especially up here in the cold weather, I mean, you need calories. And I mean, that's like with me today. I'll be eating probably all day again. That's how it was last night. I knew that when I came off there, if I wasn't going to fall asleep at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I knew I had to start mashing stuff quick. And that's what you need. You got to have something, and that's got all good stuff in it, and you got calories. You know, I mean, like you said, you got to watch it, you know, whatever size you are. But if you're out burning stuff like we were yesterday, you know, I could probably drink multiple eggnogs yesterday and not feel it. And I'm being serious. And I know most people have done this are shaking their head yes, because, you know, I used to think before if you weren't doing this, that, and the other thing every day, you're going to lose. But, you know, I usually let my body in a lot of ways now dictate my food intake. I know I always will keep a maintenance of protein every day. But like today and yesterday, calories are like big time for me. You know, I'm a big believer in drinking. And I don't mean alcohol either. I'm talking drinking like eggnogs here, or you're going to make like a coconut with, you know, a little pineapple to break it down. And then you're going to throw 1/4 cup of protein in it, because you're going to get, like you're saying, the healthy fats. I'm going to get a high caloric intake, and it's going to satisfy me. Because one thing I tell people is this: you're never going to be able to eat as much food as you are drink to gain what you want to do. If you go and read a lot of stuff by the old time guys, a lot of these guys just consume thermoses of drink. That's how they gain.
And raw eggs too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to do that a lot. My grandfather did that right to the day they put him in his grave. I think he used to drink 2 every morning. And that's the way it was. It didn't kill him. He lived into his 90s. So, yeah, I agree totally. But, you know, eggs have got a bad rap. I think they're the best food out there. And it's like, I don't throw, like, my niece, who's a runner, you know, they eat the egg whites. I'm like, why aren't you eating the yolk? Well, it's cholesterol. And I'm like, I'm not going to get into it with 13.
Oh, we could go down that road. I would get so fired up. Like, if anybody has any concerns about cholesterol, they should look at Cholesterol Clarity. That's a great book. It's most doctors in the know aren't, you know, they are not talking about the cholesterol like they used to be because they know that the tide is turning. I mean, even
look who they did to butter.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Right. And Time Magazine, that rag put out, you know, okay, butter's good for you, so go at it, you know. I told you this before. I think I've told you offline. Especially I know I'm going to train that day. I'll eat fats right up to about an hour and a half before I lift.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a psychological thing with me because I've talked myself into it or not. Whenever I'm eating high fat intake of a lifting day, I seem to have a banner day all the time. And I don't think that's a coincidence either.
Well, you know your own body when you were talking about, was it your niece that you were talking about as a runner? Right. So the problem with just eating egg whites is that not only are you missing out on all the key brain hormone making essential nutrients, but your body actually can't absorb all the protein when you just eat the whites. You need a little bit of the egg yolk. Imagine that. God made a perfect food.
Absolutely. I mean, you need the fat. And you know, she doesn't eat red meat, so she doesn't eat any meat. I think she eats fish. And I mean, she's not a true vegetarian to me anyways. I mean, she drinks milk and all that still. But I was reading more and more stuff about that, especially a lot of female runners too. But I'm not, you know, this is what she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let her do it. She's going to find out.
I was there at one point. I did the same thing a long time ago. Yeah.
It's, I don't think, look at when things are, the tide of change changes a little bit more and what I want to do here with the businesses, I'm probably going to go on like a red meat diet for just a month straight. That's all I'm going to do is eat red meat, period. And just screw around with things like that. But right now, getting ready to go away and all these other adventures I want to do, both business and that, are going to require me to have, I'm going to need X number of calories a day. You're not going to be able to go out in this kind of weather and go lift rocks and cut yourself down to 1,000 calories a day. It's not going to work. It's going to have to be more like 8 to 12 for me.
I'm glad you pulled that back up to the cold weather, because in cold weather training, I mean, for the instance in the Marine Corps, we double up on rations. So you go from eating 3,000 to like 6,000 calories a day.
Yeah, because you know your body needs it. And your body's going to either break down on you or you're going to give it to it. You know, that's a nice mechanism about your body, you know, and the mental end too, because you'll start breaking mentally. And if you're starting to get stuff like that going on, you better address it right away and not just push it off, because if you want to go outside and be real efficient, or it doesn't matter, even if you're going to a commercial gym and you're really putting out the horsepower, though I don't know many commercial gyms that will let you do that anymore. But if you're like us, what did you call me? An alien, I think it was one time. If you're an alien like me, who people don't understand, I guess, you know, that's what I'd do. You know, I'd go out and get frostbite, and I'd probably come close to get it done. And then I have to take care of myself, you know, obviously eating right, calorie right, and obviously, you know, I know the sleep thing's the big deal now, but recovery, you're not going to recover. I don't care how much sleep you get. If you're not eating, you're not recovering, all right? And I don't hear enough people answering the bell to that now, because, you know, if it's not something about you mentally, it's, you know, recovery, recovery, recovery. Well, recovery is food, man. And, you know, this is where I think a lot of the older lifters got it more, where, you know, a lot of the stuff they ate back then, they'd say, you know, it's cancer, it's heart attack, it's look at, man, clean the grains out of your life and you're not going to see a lot of that shit.
Yeah, and the sugar, the refined foods and all of that. That's when the diseases went shot through the roof. And I really honestly could talk about that forever. But
what I'd like to do, I'd just soon have a little log cabin in a little friggin' mining town, maybe learn how to raise, you know, have enough where you could raise maybe a couple cows. And, you know, obviously I'm not going to butcher them, but someone could do that. I mean, that's, you know, and how, you know, I grow gardens all the time. So it's like, you know, if you're eating like that, you know, you could be 100 years old and you'll look 50 years old. I mean, maybe not even that. I mean, the aging is not going to come down on you the way it would if, you know, everything you eat is out of a box or a can, all right? And you're not getting any exercise. You're living a sedentary life. You know, chances are most people are living in a cubicle, which sucks worse than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty miserable, and they don't have good relationships. I used to hear it all the time. If the women weren't bitching about their husbands or boyfriends, the guys were bitching about their wife. If the kids were this and that, and I used to sit there, and I'm like, why bother? You know, it's like, if you can't find any happiness in anything you're doing, then there's no point of even doing it. So, you know, thank God I got opted out of that life, and I got what I want right now. So let's keep going.
Eggnog smoothie. Yeah. So now that everybody knows how to make eggnog, it's not very hard. 4 eggs takes 5 minutes or so. But now you take 2/3 of a cup of that homemade eggnog, and let's say that you didn't make it and you picked it up from the store. Please promise me, people, that you're just not going to get eggnog that's main ingredient is corn syrup, because that's not going to, there's no point in putting that in a smoothie. Let's just not do it. So 2/3 of a cup of your homemade eggnog and a handful of ice cubes, you know, if you want to count them, it might be like 6 to 8. A half of a frozen banana if you can tolerate that amount of sugar. I can't. I'm going to use half of a cup of frozen zucchini, which I've talked about before. It makes that consistency like a banana when you've kept pieces frozen in your freezer. If you don't have it and you're going to use a banana, that's cool too, but it's too sweet for me. And I'll also add a little bit more just regular milk, whether it be almond milk or you know, whatever kind of milk you're using, or water even. Because when you put that scoop of vanilla protein powder in, it's essentially going to, with all the eggnog, that's going to be really too thick, and you're going to need a little bit of liquid in there. And another dash of cinnamon or nutmeg, depending on what you like. So you just blend all that, and if you made that vanilla whip I talked about before, you can pile that on top, and that's extra egg whites. I don't have a problem eating raw egg whites whipped as long as I get good quality eggs, the best I can get. I don't worry about it, you know. But if you do, you might not want to do that. But it is really festive, pretty. Everybody's sitting around drinking, you know, their bottled corn syrup filled liquor. And hey, I partake of that every once in a while too. But you could have your eggnog smoothie. It's delicious. And throw some brandy in if you're feeling up to it.
Yeah, go ahead. Is that it?
No, well, that's the eggnog smoothie I wanted to see.
Oh, okay.
Comment.
Oh, I don't know. I like eggnog. I mean, I usually mix it with bourbon if I'm going to drink a lot of it. That's what I do.
Yeah.
We only do it, though, at Christmas. So, you know, usually we sometimes will have a cigar. I don't know. They want to do it this year. I don't know if I'm going to do it. So we'll see what happens. But usually I like eggnog and bourbon. That's usually what if I'm going to have it. I mean, I like eggnog straight. I don't really drink too much. But I will, you know, I'll use a good bourbon in it. Could be anything I've got. You know, usually use something good. Sometimes a mix. Woodford I use a lot, or Maker's Mark, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's just what Jeffrey Smith bought me one. I can't think of the name. It's right up in Lake George, which is an hour by my house. I think it was called Bullhead. bull's head or something like that, and we're probably going to break that out at Christmas, being it's a local distillery and it looks killer. So you know, we're going to probably do that this Christmas, but you know, that'd be enough. I can do one shot of that and I'm happy for the night. I don't need any more than that. Doesn't, to be honest with you, a lot of people like to drink that with cigars. I like drinking straight black coffee with a cigar. I think that tastes better myself.
I always like black coffee.
With a cigar, though. It's awesome.
Yeah, I've done the whole cigar thing many times because all the Marine Corps mess nights, people break out cigars. But I suggest, hey, you know, it's a rich source of calories. It's from a good source. It comes from, you know, mostly eggs. It's custard. It's going to be delicious and smooth and creamy. Give it a shot so that you can know it's delicious. I think I'm going to do it pretty soon here and just keep it in the refrigerator. It'll keep for like, I'd say 4 or 5 days for sure. Mm-hmm. If it'll stick around that long.
Right.
But the other thing is really, really easy. If you love coffee, if you want to get some protein in, if it's a little bit cold out and you want something warm, here's how you make a hot protein mocha. Super easy. So you've got your hot coffee and whatever your milk of choice, let's say about a quarter cup, however much milk you like in your coffee or your mochas. And I like to also use a tablespoon of really good dark cocoa powder too, not sweetened, but, you know, just cocoa powder or cacao powder. That just means it's unrefined if it's cacao powder. But essentially, here's the key. People will say, oh, it'll clump. It won't taste good because when you mix anything with protein powder that's hot, it doesn't work. Essentially, you need to make a little, you've got your protein powder in the bottom of a mug or what have you. You need to make a little bit of a paste by adding some of your hot, not boiling hot, but hot coffee, or heat up the milk too. Add a little bit of the hot coffee to the protein powder and stir it till it forms a paste, adding a little bit more or some water even if you don't like it as strong. But I go way the other direction with strength of coffee. And then you can put all of that with the hot milk in a blender real quick. You know, let it make it so that it can release some air, because, you know, when you blend hot liquids, it'll explode on you. And then just blend it real fast and pour it back in your mug. And now it's like frothy, creamy, and sweet because of the protein powder. So, you know, it's great. The key is just making that little paste first.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Sounds real good.
Yeah. It takes 2 seconds. If you don't want to do it in the blender, then you can just stir it. But it really does make a difference. It makes it almost like a latte.
Yep. Smooth it out.
Yeah. So cheers. There you go.
So that's it? Got everything?
That's it. Feed your pie holes, as we would say in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, feed it. Why don't you give out any information you got, you know, with anything? Obviously, we always put your email address in with all the when I post the show. So, you know, anybody that's interested in talking to you can get to you that way too. But anything you want to put out? This is the time. Let me give mine out and just hang on the line for a minute, please.
Okay, so thanks for allowing me the time with you guys again. I love this. You can reach me at the easiest way is probably my email, E-H, as in Aaron Heather, E-H Mackin, M-A-C-K-I-N, at outlook.com. You can also find me on Facebook under my name or my company, Paleo Effects, and that's effects with an E. And then you can also find my website, which really is just a landing page. And you can contact me through there. And that's www.paleoeffectswithans.com. So any of those ways work just fine.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. We're with Sorenex.com, HeartsCollision.com. Don't forget to go out to Fiorello Barbell Co., download the free top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Like I said, 10 paragraphs, All you need to do is think, commit, and take action. That's how life works with everything. Go out and do it. Same way out in FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Strength times power equals success. Like I said, it's all shot in HD. I'm narrating the whole thing, and Dennis is doing the demonstration of everything. And the cool thing with that, too, is we showed you how to use household implements you got around where you can work out with. So, like I said, with the sandbags, and we just talked about on the show, there's other ways to do it. Not everybody's got the money. Not everybody's got the confidence to walk into a gym. And a lot of people just, they want proof. And that's the thing that really blows me out. I mean, the proof is there. You go to somebody that knows how to train you, or you got a little confidence in yourself, you can do it. So check that out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Also, the Winner's Circle. That's 12 modules, all verbal, 27 to 34 minutes. I'll take you right through everything I've done here, have been doing for a long time. All I can tell you is both of these things are life-changing. You go on and go out and do it, but I'll give you all the stuff to do it, and I'll support you all the way. Just come on board with us, and we'll get something done. Also, too, sponsorship. We're running a special for December and January. It's $100 a month, okay? I do 5 to 15 podcasts a week. We're loaded. I started today. We're loaded right through till Friday. I wanted to take a lot of this month off, but it's not going to happen. We're just booked with stuff. So, you know, go out there, and like I said, the $30 goes to MDA. If you can do that, that's even better. You know, you're going to you never know whose life you're going to save. And, you know, that's what I did when I secured that with muscular dystrophy. I wanted people to know where their money was going to and how much was going to them. And as we grow bigger and bigger, obviously we're going to get more and more involved with them too. These kids are the most special people in the world to me. I mean, I've never met people with a smile on their face all the time, especially when their life expectancy is pretty damn short. So go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com for that, or Motivation Muscle. The sheet's there. You can fill it all out. All the payment information is there. And remember this, we're going to be 10 million strong by the time I'm done with this. We're going to be around for a long time. Unless something's, like I always say, I had somebody on the show the other day that seemed they were a little bit off with life, and I was like, not unless God strikes me down dead, I'm going to be around for a long time. That's the only thing that's going to kill me. I got news for you. So, you know, go out there and get involved. We want to get involved with you. Also, too, Chris Bigelow does everything here, monsterdevelopment.com. You can get a hold of him at 800-687-1609. Don't forget, FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star. That's what we get from everybody. I thank everybody for that and wanting to get involved with our family here. Don't forget, too, we are on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. Twitter, Fiorello Eric. And if there's a show that you would like Aaron and I to do, something you're real interested in, don't hesitate. Send me an email at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Also, too, there's a comment section on Motivation and Muscle. I really want people to start leaving more comments. I get a lot of emails and texts, but I'd also like you to fill that out. If there's a particular show you want me to do with anybody, if there's a guest that you'd like to see if I can track down, if they haven't tracked us down, or like I said, if there's a show you'd like Aaron and I to do, send me a comment. You can also do that through iTunes too. So, you know, there's plenty of ways to get a hold of us, and it's all there. My phone number's out there. You call me, I'll return your call within 24 hours. You know, as long as it's all legit and all that. I'll leave you with these things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them a kind word, because you never know. Words can change a lot of things for people, and in a positive way. Secondly, as my mom always said, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. And if you're going to go out and lift iron, go out and crush it. If you're going to go out and lift stones or whatever you're going to do, turn those stones into dust. And as like that, we were using it yesterday, I'm going to put film of Alex and myself and Dennis up. I don't know if I'll do it today. I've got a lot of stuff I got to do. It'll probably be up tomorrow. The stone, the crusher, It says domination and blood red on both sides, and we are domination. We will be 10 million strong when we're done with this whole thing, man. We will be the standard out there for everything. With everything we're going to put our hands on, we're going to be number one. I don't care if you think that's cocky, too. We are cocky, and we're full of confidence. And as I always said, no one will ever emasculate this place, man. This place is just driven. And as our good friend Russell Furr says, who's on with me Saturday morning, this next Saturday, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. Russell, you'll always be quoted on here. That was a great thing you said. Aaron, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Okay, so for Aaron Mack, and this is Eric Fiorello, thanks for listening, and we will be talking to you soon. And don't forget, be a steward of strength, and don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. You know, get out there and get involved, man. Be a leader, not a follower. Have a great
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.